This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We were talking to Carrington during the break. There's some, you know, there's some stuff that everybody likes nostalgia. We were actually just joking earlier in the show already about like snow days, how different it was. Like, yes, sound very old here.
You've
but like
nostalgic for the scroll.
Like, hey, you gotta get up at 6 a.m. and it'd be like your name being closest, your name getting called in the draft. You're waiting for me. I was waiting for the O's to come.
In my school never canceled, I swear.
Yeah, so like there's that. And then we were just talking about sporting events. There was some old envelope in the studio that clearly was like a ticket envelope. We were like, what event was this? And I was like, man, you guys remember back in the day, you had to go to the grocery store. They'd pull out the big binder.
Yeah.
Like, here's the seating chart at Kemper. Here's the section. Like, and now obviously you just hop on your phone and it's way more convenient, but there's some stuff like that. In a weird way, it would seem like a bigger deal when you were buying tickets. Like, I got to go to the store and I got to flip through this binder, and they had a crazy process. Right.
Yeah.
But you know, I truly do miss the paper ticket thing. I used to miss a physical ticket. You had season tickets for the Chiefs, and when your season tickets came in the mail, it was one of the greatest days. It'd come in the big manila envelope, and it was a whole book of tickets. There was something I enjoyed. Now it's just, you know, these loads digital.
You're like, well, they're all on there.
Super Bowl tickets.
They send you a little box still. It's just like, but it's just like a trinket. It's not the physical tickets. Mm-hmm. I used to go to Hen House in Gladstone. It doesn't even exist anymore. And they had a little kiosk specifically for where you'd go buy concert tickets.
Yeah, man.
Go get my, and I mean, when I was like between 15 and 19, I went to 25, 30 concerts a year. I mean, so like
a year?
Oh,
man.
I lived at that Hen House. I would do at least a couple of months. Sometimes I'd go
to
like
three days in a row.
I had a full-time job and no expenses.
So you just use your paychecks on concert tickets?
I hours a week. They paid me $10 an hour cash. I didn't have bills. Yeah. I had car insurance.
Yeah.
And like nothing. Yeah. I didn't have rent. I didn't have, you know, like I was flush at that time. I probably felt more rich than I do now. No responsibility, you know.
There was something about the physical tickets.
Love the physical
tickets.
You
could also go, like, I could go see a show at the Beaumont featuring some random punk band that doesn't even exist anymore. Some that still do. I saw some bigger acts that weren't big then. Did you go for, like, 16 bucks? 18 bucks? I don't know what the hell. I bought my daughter a ticket. Well, she's not listening.
Like, if you told me that...
She didn't know about it.
Okay, don't say it.
I bought tickets and they were expensive.
Yeah, I just...
You know?
I honestly, if you said, if you have season tickets for the Chiefs or whatever, I wonder how many... If you told me that, hey, your Chiefs season tickets, you can pay an extra 50 bucks or whatever, and you get the printed booklet of tickets as well with the digital tickets, I think I would pay it. I think I would. Yeah.
Yeah. Even though you can't turn them in, it would just be like, you'd have the little booklet be your keepsake.
I mean, obviously way quicker to get in the stadium with the scanners. I totally get it. I'm just saying nostalgic me would like the physical tickets. Kind of miss that. Anyway. So today in the NFL, franchise tag window is open up. It's not the deadline. Don't have to do it. The window is open up through March 4th. And there's the obvious names across the league. T. Higgins, Sam Darnold, Adam Schefter's tweet mentioned number three on his list, Trey Smith, as a franchise tag candidate. Now, you were gone on Thursday last week, but Drew and I were talking about this because we had a lot of texts coming in saying, hey, why can't they tag and trade Trey Smith? And at the time, I was like, I just don't think it makes sense for the team trying to acquire him. I still believe that. I also don't think it makes sense for the Chiefs in its own right to do it. Remember, that cap number you have to carry until you move on from or get a new deal.
$26 million, $26 million, I think, for guard right now.
They are not going to tag him for $25 million and have that on the books. And then if your goal is to trade them, well, then the trade value you're getting is way less because that team has to give a brand new deal to make them the highest paid guard in NFL history. Because franchise tag, for those that don't remember, it's the top five, the average of the top five salaries at your position. That's what you're talking about in year one of a franchise tag. I disagree with Schefter. I mean, is he a candidate by like literally a candidate? Yes. Anybody that is a, you know, yes, he's a candidate. That is true. I just don't believe it. The dollars don't make sense to tag him.
I'm going to assume, I'm going to give Schefter a little bit of credit here and assume that some of this is based on not just looking at the thing, but doing a little bit of like actual reporting in the sense that he only listed three teams as potential franchise tag candidates. T. Higgins is one we all know is a potential tag guy. Yep. Makes a lot of sense. We all know that Sam Darnold, to a point, kind of makes sense, or Byron Murphy, although, you know, I don't really get the Darnold part. I kind of think that means you don't believe in J.J. McCarthy. But with Trey Smith, I kind of get it if you really do want to pay him. The only way franchise tagging Trey Smith makes sense is if your plan is to give him an extension like now. Like, and I understand, like,
you can't
tag
carry
him.
The 25
you can
million,
because
man.
You can restructure Patrick Mahomes and you can change Travis Kelce's number. You can make the money happen before the deadline on March 12th.
Yeah, but no.
But you've got to be planning on giving him more money going forward.
Yeah, it's not that. Can they actually, of course, they can move. You need to move that money. The guys you're talking about restructuring, they need to move that money around to go and do other things.
Yeah.
I don't believe they want to drag. No, I would be stunned, man. I would be stunned. They either just get a deal done with Trey Smith, which I still think is unlikely. But as far as I would be almost more stunned that they tag him than if they got a deal done with him. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I saw Matt Miller over at ESPN bring up the transition tag part. For those who are curious, it'd be around $20, $21 million to do transition tag. But here's how that tag works in case you don't know. You put him on the transition tag. Anyone in the NFL is now allowed to offer Trey Smith a contract extension or a contract in general. The Chiefs have the right to match said contract and then keep Trey Smith. But if he signs with somebody else, let's just say you give him the transition tag, the Chicago Bears offer him a gajillion dollars like we all think that they will. The Chiefs are like, oh my God, I didn't realize you were going to give Trey Smith that amount of money. We'll see you later, Trey. You then get zero compensation. You don't get the comp pick. You don't get a pick back from the, you know, Bears for making the deal. You get nothing.
You want the comp pick at minimum for Trey Smith.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to make $100+ million. You got it. You can't risk the transition tag again, unless your plan is to 100% sign him. The only time I think a transition tag makes sense is if you're trying to teach a player a lesson of your value ain't what you think your value is. And you're off on this one, and we're going to show you a lesson. There have been five players in the last 15 years who received a transition tag.
And that's the issue right there.
So, like, it's a very small number.
Yeah, because people on the text line, 913-586-7965, saying, yeah, they can use the transition tag. Again, literally, they can. They can use either tag. Nobody's saying it can't happen. I don't think it makes a lot of sense. And the number you just said, it is so rare to even use the transition tag.
I used last year, funny enough, but only five in the last 15 years.
That's a good sample size.
Was that player a star player, though, that got the transition?
The safety for the Patriots.
Yeah, I feel like you wouldn't get a transition tag if you were projected to be a top.
Yeah, the highest paid guard ever. By the way, he's Trey Smith, if he gets a new deal somewhere, wherever it is, he's going to get the largest contract for a guard in NFL history.
Correct.
Props to him. He's been a hell of a player. And he's also been underpaid because of the questions around his health coming out of the draft, and that's why he was a 6th-round pick. If he didn't have any health questions, he would have been a 2nd or 3rd-round pick and would have already been making decent money. He's been making, like, by NFL standards, I know you and I, it's a lot. NFL standards, he's been making nothing.
Yes. He's been making $700,000 a year, whatever. Maybe $1 million this year. I don't know.
You also don't tag him and then just ride the year out and just have him around for another season because you're wasting any chance you get anything for him again.
Someone from
that's a big number
the 91C says, come on, guys. The thing you're not thinking about is Mahomes wants to win over salary. Yeah, he can restructure all he wants, but that doesn't mean you're going to just pay everybody the highest paid of their position.
He's not going to make $1.
Mahomes is going to restructure, I'm sure, his deal again. They can lower the cap hit down to $28 million if they want to. I'm not disagreeing with that, and he has shown time and time again he is willing to do that. I don't think that applies here. It's not as simple as Patrick Mahomes can say, I want Trey Smith, and I want McDuffie, and I want Karlaftis. Oh, and I want you to give me a star wide receiver. I know Joe Burrow thinks he can do that. He's talking that way in Cincinnati. That's not realistic. That's just not realistic at all.
From Mahomes, I would say no. I mean, he's got to go to Per. If you want all those players paid at the highest of their position, you got to go back to you need to take on Brock Purdy's rookie contract if you want anything like that to happen.
But the conversation about like Mahomes wanting to make sure that they have a good team around him, yeah, we've established that for years. He's done that. That to me doesn't come into play here with the Trey Smith contract. They're going to lower his cap hit no matter what. They have other things to do this offseason. I don't believe this organization is going to make the guard position their priority this go around.
Well, doing that, I just kind of feel like they'll extend Tooney. Like, he'll also have to be one of the top paid guards in the league. But look, I think Trey Smith's a really good player.
Yeah.
I think unless age is going to beat him to death, Joe Tooney has been the league's best guard. So, like, if you're going to pay elite level guard money, why wouldn't you pay for the league's best guard? That's all.
Well, and in fairness, the Chiefs have drafted so well that Mahomes, technically, I mean, him taking, he doesn't even have to take the restructure for them to still be a legitimate contender, because Veach has done such a good job at drafting. It's not like he needs to do that in order for them to compete and contend and everything like that.
On the other end of contract stuff, great move by the Royals over the weekend. Although I'll say this explains the way just some of the business works, but it still is a good deal. The Royals signed, I know it says on paper, Cole Reagans to an extension. They didn't. They bought out his arbitration years in order to do it, which means he's going to be with the Royals at least under contract for the next three seasons at least. Look, he took a discount. I don't know how to put this any other way. Had he decided to just have this argument every year, perform well, go to arbitration, his number could have continued to climb and climb and climb higher than the guaranteed amount of money that the Royals got him. If you look at the price of pitching on the open market and you're telling me that Cole Reagans is available to you for like $12 million, home run deal. I mean, the easiest paper to sign ever. JJ Piccolo did confirm. He'll join us tomorrow on the show. We can ask him about that deal. But like, when you look through it, this is a great deal for the Royals. I'm surprised Cole Reagans took the safe way out.
It's phenomenal for the Royals organization. We all know the type of player he's been. It's a hell of a deal for them. And if he happens to win a Cy Young, there's a little bit more money involved. But you'll take the extra $500,000 it's going to cost you if he wins you a Cy Young. So it is an incredible deal. It buys out, as you said, the arbitration. Basically, now he's locked in through 2027, and then you'll see what happens. And for him, he could be, he would be arbitration eligible again, I guess, at that point in time or whatever. Is it what, Arb 3, I think it is, 2028. So, and when he's 30. I'm guessing on his side, he thought of it, hey, I've had Tommy John a couple times already.
I want guaranteed
I want guaranteed money. Like, doesn't mean you're not confident in your abilities, but now I want to ensure that I'm getting my money right now. Even if it costs me some, I want my money now to make sure I'm taken care of if I were to have another setback injury-wise or something like that. But this is a huge win and a benefit especially for a club like the Royals, where we know financially, even though their payroll's up, they're towards the bottom bottom half, I should say, of the league. And so you got to find stud players like this.
You're going to pay them $1 million this year.
Yeah,
you're going to pay them
$4.5 million
next year, $7.5 million the year after that for what likely is to be the ace of your staff. This wouldn't even be risky if you were legitimately worried about the third chance of a Tommy John. This is so little money. Like, I don't want to be the negative person, because I think sometimes in Kansas City we have to think this way, because I think JJ's been a little more transactional, and I think that being transactional in the small market is important. This also makes him way easier to move. I'm not saying they're moving him, but I'm saying 2 years from now, let's say they need to do the roster refresh, and they want to try to, like, move some pieces, shuffle the chairs, right? It happens a lot for the small market teams that are successful in Major League Baseball. The fact that you don't even have to renegotiate the arbitration number, he's just making what he's making, makes him easier from a flexibility standpoint that the book's on the paper. Not to mention the meeting part, that's small. JJ, if he's got to go to an arbitration meeting, he'll go to an arbitration meeting. In this case, he doesn't have to. They'll just pay him the amount of money he's owed. I think it was just a security thing. I think you're right. I think he looked down at, I've had a couple of these things. I still think that there might be a huge check for me when I'm 30 years old, just as long as I stay healthy. But in the off chance I don't, same as you would feel, Gold, but in the off chance I don't stay healthy, $13 million guaranteed for the rest of my life, that gets me somewhere. That puts me in a position. But I'll just tell you, I mean, that amount of positioning for a star ace pitcher, I don't think you can do it any cheaper than that gold, other than if you draft him and you have Paul Skeens. You have to pay him before you get to that point. The fact that he's willing to accept this with no additional years, too, is actually more beneficial to you, in my opinion, based on the injury history.
Yeah, I loved it. I mean, when the deal came out, I was excited. We ended based off of the financials usually for pitchers, and as you said, on the open market where things are going to be at. And you know, is there other ones to come? I know when the season ended, we said, hey, who's somebody they could extend in house? One we mentioned was Brady Singer. You either going to sign him to a deal or trade him. They decided to trade him. Cole Reagan's like, you don't have to do it yet, but if you could get something that works, then do it. And that's what they were able to accomplish. As far as other guys right now, there's really nobody else I'm in a rush to do that with. We've obviously joked with Vinny about the contract stuff. He's got to stay healthy. He knows that. He's got to make it through a season healthy. Otherwise, why would the Royals buy out arbitration yet? You got to see, can he make it through $162? If he does that this year, there's a good chance we're talking about this time next year about them doing something similar for a player like him. But there's no rush to do that for anybody else on the roster. Like, tell me anybody else on the roster, like, oh my gosh, got to get a deal done right now. No, there is nobody else.
No, I'm good. I mean, Lucas Hursek's still owned for like 3 years. It doesn't name the player, and they're not in a hurry, which actually puts their cap situation in better places than you think. And the starting rotation, which we can get to later in the week, is interesting because I see people mentioning Kyle Wright and Walk and some of these other guys. There's a lot of choices in this. But being able to just say, this is also why you move on from a guy like Singer, where he was going to cost a lot of money here under 3 years very soon. And you're like, okay, he's a good pitcher, but we can shore up our lineup. We think we got the pitching depth to battle behind it. We'll continue to develop in that area. And in the meantime, we've got three impossibly, I think, cheap years of Cole Reagan's. Look, he probably wasn't going to be expensive anyway. This is kind of like an economics of baseball thing. They can kind of hold you hostage if you don't get to the bigs for a while. You don't make it to the bigs for a while, they control you till you're 30. Doesn't matter. If you're Cole Reagan's and you stay healthy, go, let's say you win the Cy Young and you get that $500,000. You stay healthy for the next three seasons, you make 30 starts a year, and you win a Cy Young one of those years. Well, 30 years old, congratulations. There's a $500 million deal waiting for you anyway. And maybe that $13 million will seem like a pittance by comparison. Because if he does what they think he could do over the next few years, they're not going to be able to afford him in 3 years anyway. It's not even a knock. Won't be worth the risk. Won't be worth risking $500 million. You, in the final year of the ARB 3 deal, will move him for prospects in 2 years, you know, like all the things that kind of exist as a transactional team. Those are the decisions you have to make on Cole later.
Trash of the day.
We got another update on something that we've had a few times.
Okay.
What would that be? You know, like 8 years of it.
We had to do a few of those updates on Trash of the Day for a while.
We've got like, you know, 7 years or so of these updates still to come. I'm talking about the asteroid hitting Earth in 2032. Yes, remember the last update?
Oh, yeah.
I've got news for you.
Okay. More or less likely, I guess, is the question.
When we last brought this up, there was a 2.2% chance of an asteroid hitting Earth in 2032. There's an update. The asteroid is now got a 2.6% chance. We're up 0.4% of an asteroid hitting Earth in 2032. If you're wondering, for some context, the highest risk assessment an asteroid has ever received was a 2.7% chance back in 2004.
Whoa, so we're at almost all-time high and chance is going to hit us?
We've got some runway here. Yeah, there's 2.6% chance in 2032. And I think
is this like a dinosaur kill everything on Earth kind of asteroid?
From what I read, it said that it would be like more of a city size killer than a world ender. You know, just ending a city.
Oh, just like London's, you know, gone.
Yeah, which is funny you say London, because I think this is the movie like plot in all of us, which is everybody just assumes if there was an asteroid that wasn't going to destroy Earth forever, but was just going to knock out a city. We all assume it.
Big city.
That it's going to land in New York, LA, Chicago, or London or Tokyo.
Not Goodland, Kansas, or whatever.
Yeah. You know,
or Goodland, Colorado.
That's the movie plotted us. Like, yeah. If an asteroid actually came to Earth and was going to destroy a city, yeah, why can't it land in the middle of Western Kansas? Sorry.
It can't just hit Parsons. Versus,
yeah, shout out to Parsons and Goodland. We love you. But, like, you know, I get what you're saying. You know, that's what's interesting about this. So we'll keep an eye on it, guys. This is the latest up 2.6% chance. Hopefully it doesn't go up from there 2032.
They say that's a 1 in 38 odds of impact.
That's right.
You've had a parlay with worse odds than that this year.
All I know is someone better.
1 in 38, that feels a little too high.
I'm going to be honest. That was the first thing that I thought of as well was, I think I've hit a parlay that's had worse odds than this. So that's a little concerning.
I mean, just go ahead and start talking to the guys in the oil rig industry, man. Start training them now. We got some runway. We don't have to rush this time, all right?
Can we just blast that thing with a missile or something?
Probably.
What's with this military budget? We can't blast an asteroid with a missile yet?
Where's the Avengers at? You know, we need to find a way to get Tony.
I got to send a construction crew up there. I can't just...
You know, you could do the laser thing, or... Again, start training the oil rig guys right now. Last time, for whatever reason, they waited till the last minute to do it. So they sent Bruce Willis and Ben Affleck up there.
Who volunteers to get some injections and just become the Hulk? You know, is there anybody that
just
volunteers?
Just like fly through the sky?
Yeah.
Or like Captain America?
Who wants to be Tony Stark, you know?
Again, I got to be honest. I can't imagine that we don't have like something powerful enough to just blast this thing out of the sky.
My theory on this.
If it got to 50-50, they're blasting that thing out of the sky, okay?
50-50. I mean,
if it's 50-50, they're blasting it.
I still maintain this. I do believe if it ever was like a real, real chance.
We would know.
Of it like destroying a large chunk, if not all of Earth. I don't think we're ever knowing, guys. They're not. You know the panic and the chaos? The lack of, like, there'd be no law. Like, they'd just, be over.
We have Chiefs fans on the text line.
It'd be like the Purge. It'd be over.
We have Chiefs fans hoping that it lands in a particular city because you guys couldn't beat the team like a couple Sundays ago.
It's a 9-1-3. Hopefully it lands in Philly.
Goodness.
Right. Bleak. That's a lot of people,
sad.
Man.
That's
but
sad.
I don't think we would actually ever know. Like, if this thing got up to, like, 20% chance even, because you're like, whoa.
20%? I got to take it.
I serious. Think you're right. No, nobody would know.
Be honest. Would you want to know?
Yeah, I would.
No, I don't know if you want to know. The knowing that like a week from now, the world was ending, you wouldn't want to know.
They,
I don't think.
If they,
Cody's got plans to live out the rest.
He can't do anything. Nobody's going to want to work anywhere. You're like, oh, I'm going to go do something. Nobody's
it'd
working.
Be the Purge.
Yeah,
which you can prepare accordingly for that. I guess if you know. Look, if they have like a death clock and they can tell you exactly the day you die, I'd want to know.
Ooh,
I'd want to know.
You said yes. That I'd makes sense know, that you would I'd say this know. Now because yeah, I think you've said that before.
Why would you want to know?
I think I would. I don't
if
think
it's tomorrow. I don't want to be here today. I don't want to be at my job or spend time with my family or something. Like I don't
want to
be here.
I don't think I want the exact day. I think I would love like a range. Like just tell me, am I making it to 80 or not? Just tell me.
Oh, like a ballpark range.
Yeah, give me a ballpark.
A decade. You die in your 50s, 60s, 70s. Damn, dude. Though, like that in a lot of ways is worse. I turned 50. I'm like, any day can be my last. I'd be trying to retire before I was 50. I'll say that. I'm trying to figure out how to get out of the workforce at 50.
Yeah.
Cause a problem.
Someone says, wouldn't the angle of the contact knock the rotation or orbit out of the Earth out of whack? Sure.
I don't know, man.
Sure. 2.6% chance, guys. 2.6% chance. 2032.
Now people are saying hit Canada. I mean...
Getting bleak over there.
As if we can direct it to go somewhere. Yeah.
That's like a Thanos problem. You're like, well,
someone
says,
hey guys, I want to save you the embarrassment. I'm going to explain to you exactly how this is going to work in regards to the asteroid. Okay. NASA is texting in. They are going to hit the asteroid at a certain point to change its velocity ever so slightly so the asteroid and Earth do not intersect with the Earth's orbit. Then if it's a risk of hitting Earth at that point, they will launch a mass on a rocket, probably a Falcon something. Okay. Obviously, we were joking. I don't actually think they're going to send people from an oil rig. That would be a plot of a movie in the 90s. Thank you. But
that is an Armageddon reference.
Yeah, I don't actually think they're going to send oil rig mechanics up to an asteroid. Even though I told you it's one of my favorite movies, even though you hate on it.
It's a stupid movie.
Great movie.
And I don't want to hear that Aerosmith song ever again.
That's the soundtrack in
that
movie.
Do you know anyone who's like a big Aerosmith fan?
No, but the
soundtrack of an era.
No, but like the soundtrack in that movie is terrific.
That's the only song I remember. What else? Is it more Aerosmith songs?
Cody, you think I'm lying. I told you I love this movie. I had Armageddon
had
soundtrack on CD. I did back in the day. All right, up next, we'll get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. One area where you might be willing to give a little bit more if it means an upgrade elsewhere for the Chiefs. We'll explain that next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you on a Tuesday in Kansas City on your home for the Chiefs and home for Kansas City Sports 96.5. The Fan coming up in 8 minutes. We'll talk about one thing that maybe we didn't give enough attention to, and it's being discussed over the weekend. That's why we're bringing it back up, trying to move on from the Super Bowl. But there was some quotes that were out there that I think got a ton of traction and I think are being taken out of context. We'll get back to that in just a little bit.
The way I look at the Chiefs offseason, and I'm guessing a lot of people probably look at the same way, which is just essentially, if you want the offensive line to be better, what are you willing to sacrifice in order to get that? And so I was trying to go through like position by position and ask myself, where am I willing to shortchange one part of the roster for the other? Because I just think that that's the way it works when you're at a championship level. You have a lot of expenses. You don't have like an endless amount of cap space. I don't think the Chiefs are in cap hell or anything. I think they're in about the normal cap space most NFL teams are as it sits right now. And I thought the area I decided on was a secondary. If they get worse at corner or they get worse at safety, so be it. I'm willing to weaken the defensive structure in order to have something that allows Patrick Mahomes to stand upright. Because it has been at least two straight years of offensive line questions. I would argue the entire time Patrick Mahomes has been the quarterback of the Chiefs, we've gone into a season asking the questions about whether or not he had enough pieces in order to protect himself and stand upright the entire time. The secondary seems like the easiest place to rob. All young. You go Chamari Connor, and you take every, and Hicks, and you take every little guy you've drafted and are paying nothing to because you're not paying McDuffie yet. And you just package all those guys together and you let the Reeds of the world go. You don't bring a veteran corner. You go back to the draft and you make it as cheap as possible. And you force them to grow over the course of a 17-game season next year. Because if I'm robbing a part of the field, that's where I'm robbing.
So corner's going to be corner. I mean, Jalen Watson and Trent McDuffie aren't going anywhere. So that's not changing. I think you hit on an area that I think is just going to happen anyway because they've already been drafting and preparing. And this aspect, whether it was going to be because of an offensive line failure in the Super Bowl again, that is, they've been drafting over Justin Reed, in my opinion, the last couple of years. You know, in Justin Reed's been a really good player for this team, and I'd be interested in bringing him back, but because of what we were discussing here, which is you've got other areas that are more important, I think he'll be a cap casualty, and he'll go on and I think play well for another team next year. I would be almost surprised if he's back. If he's back, it means some other areas did not get accomplished, in my opinion. But they drafted Connor. They've drafted Jaden Hicks. You draft those guys, not that they didn't contribute at all this year, but you draft hopefully to replace Justin Reed, so you're not paying him. It's not the same scenario as when they let Tyron go, because they let Tyron go and then they still went out and paid a safety anyway.
They did.
Just a younger safety.
Yeah.
A younger by a couple years. I would be surprised, and Justin Reed's not even 30 yet. I would be surprised if they let Justin Reed go and then they paid another younger safety again. I think they have those guys already. You drafted Hicks. Specifically, I'm talking about Hicks, because Chamari Connor, I think we've seen at this
he's
point
okay.
in time.
He obviously can play snaps.
I think he's still kind of not a spot starter, but he's still more of a role player in the secondary than I could see Jaden Hicks being like the dude at some point very soon, maybe this year. So I'm with you on secondary, but it's not even the corners, because the corners to me are the corners. Like Watson and McDuffie aren't going anywhere.
Yeah, I'm saying I wouldn't spend any money trying to improve that spot either.
Yeah.
I'm spending on the offensive line. I'll take my chances there.
Yeah, I think they'll just draft corner at some point in the draft. The linebacker position is the one area where I would point to as well, and that's whether or not they bring back Nick Bolton or not. I tend to lean towards they won't, even though we know that's Spags guy, man.
Loves him.
Tranquil will be back. Chanel's back. Could that be an area where they say, we're not going to pay Bolton, we're just going to draft another guy? And that would be an area where, based off of positional priority and value, you could see the linebacker being a spot. Remember, other than going out and signing Drew Tranquil, which was at the time a one-year flyer, he just ended up being great for them. Otherwise, they've drafted that position. The very, very beginning of this run, yes, Anthony Hitchens in that contract. But since then, Willie Gay, Nick Bolton, Chanel, like they've been willing to just build through the draft in large part at that position.
Yeah, and so it's already been kind of cheap, and they do already have some money tied up in Tranquil that isn't going away, although it's not a ton of money or anything. They're not like paying him loads and loads and loads. And I know you and I have gone back and forth on that player because the obvious things, which is I don't love spending high draft picks on what I deem are less valuable positions like linebacker. But if you're telling me to spend $0, they got to spend a second round pick in order to get it done. Okay, I'll listen. The defensive line is the other place where you're going to have a choice to do it. I would advise against it.
You can't have a bad secondary and a bad pass rush, right?
You bring in people to help the secondary, and you're going to risk the pass rush, and you're going to hand the keys over to Felix Anudike Uzama, and you're going to draft another guy in the first round, and you're going to strengthen yourself that way, right? That's the cheap way of doing defensive line. You're not going to pay Charles Omenihu. You're going to hand the keys over to FAU, and then you're going to draft another guy in the line in order to give yourself the depth there. And you're going to let Turk Wharton, and you're going to let the guys who are free agent, who you haven't paid already, go. And you're going to try to find your other diamond in the rough outside of the organization. It's just, it is way harder to get it right in that. The beautiful part is I could make an argument that the other position in this, and it's already two-thirds of the way done, is wide receiver. What if you spent an entire offseason and didn't give any of these vet deals anymore? No 1-for-10 for Hollywood. No 1-for-12. No 2-for-20. You just let all that go, and it's Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy and you do it that way instead. Yeah, and you draft another guy, and it's just like whoever, you know, like you pick up the pieces in other areas. And let's just assume in this case, Travis Kelce's back, right? Mm-hmm. So like, I don't know, man. Do you really need to spend another dime at wide receiver? It kind of depends on if Rashee Rice is suspended for 8 games or 4.
Yeah, I don't like that. I could hear you on the secondary stuff, not really on board on the wide receiver stuff. I think if anything, like we just saw, it's time to go ahead and bulk up this offense again, not just on the offensive line for obvious reasons, but I think go out. I'm not saying to go spend $30 million a year on T. Higgins. I'm saying, though, that the Hollywood Brown type of deal, that maybe you can bring him back, I'd very much be interested in somebody in that regard, financially, too. You know, I'm not sitting here saying bring back D-Hop and Juju. No. I would like other bodies, but I don't think you go cheap at wide receiver, especially because if Rice is suspended and then the court stuff gets settled this offseason and he's out for 6 weeks, it sounds great. Oh, I'll just have Worthy and the guy they draft and Travis Kelce. Well, you're just asking for the offense to be frustrating again. I don't like that at all.
Yeah,
this is where I go, like, you know, the explosive running back. I don't want them to spend money on it. I want them to use a draft resource, draft pick on that area.
Now, they only have 6 picks.
There's a balance. Right now? I think that's correct. Yeah, I think
the chance for 7 to get a comp.
2 in the third at the moment.
They have 4 in the top 100. But yeah, only 6
third,
total.
That top third
I
round
think it
pick.
Depends on what you do. The wide receiver thing is interesting. It depends on what you, because I don't think you would consider wide receiver a need. You don't need to draft a wide receiver. I think, you know, it'd be nice. But in terms of the need, it falls down in the depth chart a little bit lower. You guys mentioned Veach has always done a good job of drafting a class or two ahead of the need. Like Jaden Hicks drafted ahead of Justin Reed. He's not waiting to draft a safety until now. He's not waiting to draft guys or bring in guys to replace positions. It does feel like defensive line, not that you need to, not that Chris Jones is going to be gone, but getting a good, if they're at 31 and let's say they go and they trade for a left tackle, defensive line is probably where they go in the first round. Not to say if they like the position enough,
that's almost always a chance.
If there's a guy there, just because one, to strengthen the position or the group, as you said, Cody, but also looking ahead is what it seems like has been a theme with Brett Veach and defensively in particular. We're going to get ahead of the need to go and get a defensive lineman where we're going to try to get Chris Jones' replacement or a guy that can be alongside of him at least and learn from him now before he retires or before he leaves in 2 or 3 years, whenever the contract is up.
I got to say, so right behind you, we have the on-ramp up to like Shawnee Mission Parkway, just wrapped up. I'm sorry, if you run out of gas, which is clearly what happened here, they just left. So maybe 15 minutes ago, a red car, looks like a Jeep, pulls over to the shoulder, puts on their hazards, and then just sits there as people drive around them. I'm like, oh no. Having car trouble in this weather, terrible news. 15 minutes later, a person shows up, pulls up, get a gas can out, fills up their gas can, and then they drive off. If you didn't fill up your tank in this weather, you're an idiot.
Dang.
You're an idiot.
Yeah, you got to fill up
you're
the night before.
You're a stupid idiot. You deserve to run out of gas and get stuck on the side of the road with no gas in it. I can't believe that person rescued you in 15 minutes. You're lucky you didn't sit there for an hour.
You should know to fill up the night before the storm. You got like you
classic
gotta
stuff.
Yeah, you got to make sure you have over a half a tank or whatever, maybe even a full tank. But especially if your car's outside, you don't want that thing down to where it says like you got 30 miles left and you're sitting outside when it's negative 20. Plus, you just don't know if you're stuck in traffic. You get stuck on you get off into a ditch. You want to be able to have, if the car's fortunate enough to be running, you don't want to be out of fuel to stay warm. All kinds of stuff. There's a lot of reasons why you should have fuel in your car.
I just couldn't believe it. Yeah. I'm watching over here. I'm like, how did you leave the house? And you need someone to come rescue you from being out of gas. I've never run out of gas.
Who knows their circumstance? Who knows? I'm with you that you shouldn't have it happen. But
you never ran out of gas before, Cody?
I haven't either.
Like, I have one time.
Really?
Well, I've gotten close on a long road trip once or twice. Where
we've all pushed
you
it.
You thought you could stretch it to the next gas station a few exits down.
You can get a little nervous.
I've cut it close once or twice in my life.
There's one time I'm embarrassed by. There's one time where I literally saved enough gas to find a gas station, and I was very proud of myself. But yeah, I've ran out of gas once. I had to call my dad, and that's a little humiliating where you're going up a hill. All of a sudden, the pedal hits the ground. You're like, oh, crap, here we go. Let me pull off to the side. Here we go.
Maybe this is like one of those things like you learned a lesson. A girlfriend I had in high school, she calls me and she's freaked out a little bit. She thinks she's run out of gas. This is what she thinks is wrong with the car. And she's not sure, but she, you know, because she's 17 or 18 or whatever, but that's what she thinks happened. I'm like, okay. I said, I will have someone give me, because I didn't have my own car yet. I was like, but I'll have, you know, whatever. Someone will, she was like, I was like 15, she was like 17 or whatever. And so I was like,
I'll have my dad give me a ride. We'll get a gas can. I'll come out and get you gas. By the time I get up there, her stepdad was there. And he's like, I don't know if that's what the problem with the car is. I was like, hey, she thinks she's just out of gas. I brought the gas. Do you just want to put it in and see? Refused on the side of the highway to take this gas. Had the whole car towed instead of taking our gas. What? Just out of gas. It was just out of gas. It was the whole problem.
What, did you think the car was going to get damaged by putting gasoline?
It probably just didn't like me or something.
Well, that's,
it was crazy.
It sounds like that was what it was.
It was just out of gas. Why? Who couldn't like
You're
me?
You're not
going
to take
nice
gas from this guy?
He didn't want you to get props for helping.
I couldn't be the hero, apparently.
Yeah, that's
apparently.
What he didn't want you to be that.
At 15,
that's what it was. He didn't want you to be that, clearly.
He would not take the gas. Refused to take it. Had the car towed instead. It was nuts. I just stood there waiting for him to tow. I'm like, but I have gas. Do you want it? Mm. No. Waiting for the car to get towed.
That was the problem, right? That was the problem?
Yes, that was the problem. It was out of gas.
Dang. That's tough.
Pay for a tow truck. Embarrassing.
I also just don't get it nowadays, too. The cars are new enough that, I mean, even the last 20 years, 15 years, everybody has most cars now, and now
say miles to empty.
Yeah, like before, you're like, oh, you really didn't you didn't know for now. It's pretty. It tells you got 98 miles to empty. Might want to start thinking. Might want to start thinking about getting some gas.
Start making you
out of curiosity.
I get gas at 100, by the way. What's everyone else do?
It just depends. Like
around 100 is when I try to go.
If once it gets to 115, you start thinking. You're like, okay, I probably should.
Out of curiosity, what's the furthest you've pushed it? How close have you been?
My coach said on a road trip. So when I was driving from,
How many miles on the thing left?
When I was driving from Boise to Denver, and in one it was to Houston, but I stopped in Denver. I think I was in Wyoming, random small town in Wyoming, Rawlins, Wyoming, I think it was. And I was like, I know the city's coming up. And so it got to the point where it hit zero. Now, you know you got depending on the car, another 20 miles, 15 miles, depending on the car. And so it was like blinking zero, it could have gone out at any time. And I drove for 10 more minutes. I don't know how many miles that would have been. But, I got off and it didn't
putter or anything.
It wasn't good on the car probably, but no.
I think the worst was, and I didn't have a car at the time, Drew, that had 0 miles, but it was we looked it up after because it was my brother and I, we were driving out to Colorado together and we passed one. We're like, we'll get the next one. And it took so long to get to the next one. It was buried in the red for so long. I'm like, oh my God, we're never going to make it. And it was like, oh, the car has a 15 gallon tank in it. Right. Yeah. Via the car specs. And it filled up to 14.98 gallons or something. We filled it up and I was like, woo.
Yeah, that's when you know it's close. And again, if you happen to run out of fuel, you can call our friends over at J Southland Tow Service. 913-586-7965 is our text line. Don't call that number for help, but it is a J Southland Tow Service text line.
We can't help you.
No, that's our text line.
I guess if that person was out of gas, I could have walked some over, but
Would you have left the studio? That's, by the way, in this weather, that's actually a long walk.
It'd be shorter to drive over there.
That's a good walk, actually, because of just the guy you have to go around.
I just like the idea of you hosting the show, watching me trudge up the
We would have to turn the camera around, and we'd have to. I would come in there, and I would pull the camera over.
You go through the snow, you trip and fall for a second in the snow. Someone says they broke down, a trucker picked them up. It took them 6 hours.
Whew.
Someone says, didn't ask for a dime. I paid. Oh, geez. Oh God. Okay.
I was
okay.
Stop reading.
Okay.
God, go, please.
Okay.
That was close.
You know what good news is?
I didn't see the other part of the text.
You stopped before you got too far.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
One thing I won't understand is we are in the Chiefs Red Half Hour, but it's off season, so we're back to Chiefs Red Half Hour getting distracted. I'm kind of in between what I thought was, I don't know, semi-annoying social media discourse. Yeah. On the very beginning of the comments that took place between Chiefs fatigue and Joe Blamire and multiple other staff members.
So there was reporters, of course, interviewing all the coaches before the Super Bowl, right? They have these media scrums and they're all working on usually longer form pieces. But because the Chiefs got beat the way they did last week and specifically on Friday, there was a bunch of quotes that were being sent out and screenshots from, I believe, an ESPN.com story. And in that, I'll just read you guys, if you're not aware of it, here was the quote. "It makes it so much more stressful," Chiefs passing game coordinator Joe Blamire told ESPN. "You feel the burden as a coach and as you're putting a game plan together to not waste his abilities, to not go through a season where you don't give him the opportunity, to not screw it up as the coaching staff. So rather than feeling like just unbridled excitement that we could do anything, it's actually more like a terror, like we cannot be the reason in that we screwed this guy up or this team up," Okay, that was Joe Blamire. A lot of people took that as, see, their coaching staff is terrified of Mahomes, and this is why they're bad on offense this year. Like, that was a
real offense.
And that was a take from media members and obviously fans. I could not disagree more. Remember the context. This was on the Wednesday before the Super Bowl, and the question was essentially, hey, do you feel pressure? Do you feel pressure to get the three-peat? The fact that you have Patrick Mahomes, does it make you feel more pressure? I think if you were to ask any coach that has an all-time great, Mahomes, Brady, Jordan, LeBron, whoever, anybody, we all know the greats, they don't want to waste the talent. That's the pressure they feel.
Yeah.
Not Joe Blamire or Andy Reid or Matt Nagy or whoever. They're not fearful when they make their calls.
Oh,
my
gosh. They waste a Super Bowl year.
Yeah.
You should be.
Like, people are taking as if Joe Blamire's like play sheet. You know, he doesn't call the plays, but just bear with me. Like, his hands are like shaking as he's writing out the game plan. Like, no, give me a break. That's ridiculous.
He's nervous when calling plays?
No, that's absolutely insane. I think it is that you as a coach feel like there's pressure on you to take advantage of having the best quarterback in the league.
I don't know why that's a bad thing for the
most part. That makes sense to me.
This is also why I think sometimes it's like everyone's a little too comfortable with each other in a way where I told you, like, I just wanted like somebody who's thinking about offense different than the way everybody in the Chiefs organization thinks about it now. Because if you feel that pressure, then you should be open to a lot of different ideas. And what I think that the Chiefs have gotten into a little bit, and not that it's a bad thing, right? They won two Super Bowls in a row, made it to a third in a row. I'm not saying the whole system is a teardown. Let's fix this thing. Because I think we said this after the Super Bowl. That's a stupid way to look at a team who's just been to three consecutive Super Bowls and won two. But I do think that this is like the level of like your comfort in saying that, and that everybody in the building knows the same thing, which is we have an all-time great. We don't like blowing years in which we have a chance. Should have you open to some new ideas offensively. We're like, you know what? It has been stale the last couple of years in offense. Has it stopped us from getting to the end? No. We get to the Super Bowl. We find ourselves there. But if we want to make sure that this sustains, what Joe Blamire is saying, we don't waste years under Patrick Mahomes, then you should start exploring those new ideas inside of your offense that could unlock some stuff that we haven't seen in a couple of years. Patrick Mahomes, in my opinion, is too good of a quarterback for the offense to look this mediocre two consecutive years. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of watching the same offense you are the last couple of years because why? How? You have Patrick Mahomes. There's almost no reason for it to be this mediocre. And I know mediocre is relative. It's like the 10th, 12th best offense. It's not 18th, 19th. But again, you got the best quarterback in the league, mediocre by that standard.
There has to be a middle ground. Like, I don't think we're, frankly, going to ever see 5,050 touchdowns again.
No, I'm not asking for it, but
I think there's some people out there that are like, how come we can't get
you
back
want,
to
you
this?
You want it to look easier for them.
There's got to be a middle ground. I think some of it is on the coaching staff to obviously look internally and figure out what they are doing wrong. I still think over the last 2 years in particular, we can't have conversations about how the O-line's been a problem for 5 years and they've had different left tackles for 5 years and not think that that is not part of the equation here. Like, some of it is wide receiver weapons, which I think they're getting better with Rice and Worthy now. But also, if we agree that the protection from your left tackle has not been all that good, it means your quarterback, he gets happy feet. He doesn't trust as much. He doesn't trust the deep pass as much. That is so much of this as well. And then we all focus on the passing. I go back to the explosive running back discussion last week about drafting one. You know, it's not just a passing game thing. If you're running back, not that they're ever going to be run first, nor
but
should
occasionally
they
occasionally get a 40 yard
but
run.
If you have a more explosive running back, chances are your entire offense is just going to be better and things are going to open up. Instead of having to do, I don't want to call it gimmicky, but instead of having to throw a ball behind the line of scrimmage and hope that you can get some yak, maybe you have a running game. And all of a sudden, that changes how defenses are going to play you a little bit. They don't have that right now with Isaiah Pacheco and Kareem Hunt. And I don't think Kareem Hunt will be back next year anyway. But that they need to be more explosive in the running back room. To me, that also helps with some of what we're discussing.
This was the passing game coordinator who said this, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So that all of what you said, Gold, I think makes sense. Where he's not calling out Andy Reid, I don't think, by saying this. But essentially, he knows we don't run the ball. We barely run the ball. So as a result, there is so much more pressure, quote unquote, if you want to call it that, on the passing game to be effective enough to basically single-handedly move the offense game in and game out, where, to your point, they don't run the ball enough to help Patrick Mahomes out to help the passing game out. They don't have a running back that they can utilize or rely on enough because they need more explosiveness in that particular area. So this is where I think it's not important for this draft, but I think it's imperative, as we've talked about before, to get an explosive running back because it makes everything easier for everybody involved. It makes things easier on Patrick Mahomes. It makes it easier on your offense entirely because it's not just, well, Pat, we needed to drop back and just throw the ball. And the defense actually has to respect the run game in some regard. They have to respect the running back in general because not only can you run the ball and be effective, you can also throw the ball to the running back and he can be effective. He can be like James Cook and run a wheel route and he's not too slow, where he can actually be utilized as a wide receiver weapon just as much as he can be in the backfield. It helps everything out.
I think the other part too, like with the fatigue stuff, we got to get to a break, but just the fatigue stuff too. It's funny how we view different elements of a team when we talk about the players. And Travis Kelce, we played the audio last week and he acknowledged that, hey, I played more games than anybody. Like we all agree when players say that, nobody crushes the player, right? A player says that and says, man, I played a ton of football games. Like, yeah, it can drain on you after a while. And we're like, yeah, it makes sense. I get it. A coach alludes to the fact that, yeah, we're worn out. It might've worn us all out. How dare, oh my gosh. If a coach says that, it's the worst thing on earth. Like, I understand he's also not the head coach. It's not like this mind game thing. He's in this case, we're talking about a passing game coordinator. I guess I didn't have a problem with the comments from Blamire. I was stunned, frankly, how much it took off.
People just mad after the Super Bowl loss.
That's right. All right, up next, we'll get to what's trending and then get right back into what the Royals did. They've been busy with extensions, both for Cole Reagans and for the general manager, J.J. Piccolo. It's interesting how we view Piccolo now compared to even 2 years ago. We'll dive deeper into that next.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties. Buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.